Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen.
Is it on? Oh, it's off there. Yeah, it's close to it. Not very electronically gifted. There, now am I on? I'm still off?
You're not.
You're not mute, you're just volume.
Thank you. Okay. Well, I'd like to start with thinking back to John the Baptist. In Matthew 3 of John the Baptist, John says, there's someone coming after me. He's going to take an axe to all the fruit trees that do not bear fruit and cut them to the ground. And it's soon after this point that Jesus begins coming on the scene, preaching and healing. And a few weeks ago, I gave you all a new vocabulary word. It was called juggernaut. Do you remember that? I talked about the juggernaut of death. A juggernaut is it's a real word. It's a massive force that destroys everything in its path. And we talked about the juggernaut of death and Jesus' coming and confronting it. Well, now I would like to talk about the juggernaut of life. From the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he is intent on destroying, cutting down at the roots, all the walls, all the barriers that separate the society and ourselves from God, from the love of God, and from the love and compassion that we give each other. If we look back a few weeks ago, the first healing Jesus does is of the centurion slave. The centurion's a Roman, not a Jew, a Roman, part of the oppression, not part of the victims. But he is a man of compassion and love, and because of that, he recognizes Jesus, and he wants his slave healed. And Jesus heals her. The week after that, we talked about the widow's son who had died, and this meant the widow was disenfranchised, had no future and no hope. And out of pity for the widow, Jesus brings the son back to life so that the widow's life and future might be restored. Then after that, last week, we heard about the sinful woman who burst into the party given by the Pharisee and washed Jesus' feet with her tears and anointed his feet with the oil from the alabaster jar that she had. She knew she had been forgiven. She saw Jesus and she knew her sins were forgiven. And out of thankfulness, there was nothing that could stop her, no social protocols. Nothing could stop her from coming to the feet of Jesus. All these times, walls are breaking down, barriers are being crossed, social, religious, political. Jesus is definitely the juggernaut of life. He's destroying everything in his path that separates us from God. And not in the readings, but something that precedes this particular story, Jesus has gone with his disciples onto the Lake of Galilee, and this horrible storm comes up, a very familiar passage to a lot of you. And these seasoned fishermen are scared to death. They're so afraid that they wake up the sleeping Jesus, who is probably mildly annoyed at that, and Jesus reaches his arms out, calms the sea, and then goes back to sleep. And so when they wake up the next morning, they have crossed to the other side of the Galilee, the Lake of Galilee. Now this scripture reference to the other side is important. The side that is not Jewish, to the Gentile side, to a side that's never heard of Jesus. The other side, the outside side, the not side that's included. And they land in the region of the Gerasenes, who were Greeks. They were not Jews. And into this place where they land, they meet this man who probably was from the town of Gadarva. And that town, which they think is probably the town that he's out of, means walled off. You know, everything has deep significance. This whole town is walled off. The region is walled off. Everybody is walled off. They've never heard of Jesus. And here is this man that we meet who they say is full of demons, lots of horrible things inside of him that make him go crazy. And the town has tried to chain him, and they tried to shackle him. They did what they could to keep this man in check, but he breaks the chains off, and he's left them. And he is so isolated and so solitary, he's sleeping in the tombs among the dead, which for the Jews would have been horrible, really ritually defiled. But also for the Greeks and for the Romans to sleep with the dead would have been unheard of too. Totally isolated, no clothes on, naked, separated socially from everybody. Not even in his own mind, not even able to have control over his own thoughts and his own actions. A very, very terrifying place to be. But also a place where when he sees Jesus, he recognizes him. He recognizes him because he is so vulnerable and he wants so much to be made whole that he is at a place where he recognizes and embraces Jesus. And he looks at Jesus, and if you take nothing home from this text, remember what he asks Jesus. Jesus, what would you have of me? He was at the place where he was no longer telling Jesus what he was willing to do. He's asking Jesus, what would you have of me? And Jesus makes this man whole. And he says, first of all, what's your name? And the man says, Legion. Well, this may not mean a lot to us, but to the Jews and to the Roman, the people under Rome's occupation, this means a lot. A legion is a regiment of 6,000 Roman soldiers kept to keep you in oppression. So this name, these demons' names, was synonymous and symbolic of oppression, of being chained down, of being held back, of not being free, whether it's from mental illness, whether it's from addiction disorders, whether it's from walls that we've built up to create all sorts of barriers against one another. But whatever it is, these are all legion. These are all part of the satanic forces. The part that John the Baptist had talked about, the trees being cut down at the roots, this is what Jesus has come to destroy. And this man knows that. And Jesus calls to the demons to leave him. It's a wonderful story. The demons said, oh, please don't throw us into the abyss. Let us go to those pigs over there. This is significant. You know, the Greeks and the Romans, they could eat pork, but they also offered pork as sacrifices to their gods. They were part of the pagans' ritual sacrifice. And so, therefore, by having the demons go into the pigs, and the pigs go over a cliff. And why did the pigs drown? Because it was believed that demons couldn't swim. So the pigs drown. Makes sense. So they've destroyed the pigs. But in destroying the pigs, Jesus has, once again, the juggernaut of life, has destroyed the offerings to the cults, to the pagan gods. He's also destroyed the occupation and the business life and the security of that town as they raise these hogs to then be probably killed in offering. The juggernaut of life is cutting everything down. But now when this man goes back and he seems to be whole and in his right hand, the one who witnesses goes back and tells the town and those in the countryside what has happened, that this man who was possessed is now whole, the town's response is totally opposite to that of the possessed man. The town's response is to get Jesus out of there. Because in their case, the town is not at the place that the man with the demons is. They're not prepared at all costs to ask Jesus what he would have of them. They are living a fragile peace with the occupation of Rome. They're living a peace where they're trying to hold their lives together, their livelihoods together, their faith together, their families together, their belief systems together. And Jesus' presence is a threat to that peace. They would rather hold on to that limited peace that they know and have than to let go of it and embrace the peace and the wholeness that comes from God. The juggernaut of life is a threat to those who are living in security and a threat to those who live in peace. Years ago, I think I've mentioned this before, forgive me if you remember it, but when I was a teenager, I tended to have a lot of strong opinions. And in one such conflict with my nice, sweet Southern mother, I was furious with her over something, at some social concern, and my mother looked at me and said, you know, Mary, I am 75 years old, and I think I'm about as good as I'm going to get. That's beginning to be a reality for me. I'm beginning to see where she was coming from. But you know, my mother is now 98, and my mother has continued to grow. She has had to shed many thoughts. She's had to shed many structures of what she considered to be her limits and let them go in order to live, in order to brace the future, in order to allow God's presence to grow in her heart. And Paul in Galatians tells us today, you know, the laws do not bind us. And those are laws of Scripture, but they're also laws of society, things that separate us as people, things that separate us politically, socially, racially, things that separate us in regards to even mental illness. We wall ourselves off from things that we don't understand. We wall ourselves off in order to protect ourselves so that we can have an ordered life. And Jesus is saying, don't do that. And when we get to where our walls no longer can satisfy the deep needs and desires of our hearts for a closeness of God, that is when we, as the deer that panteth for the water, come to Jesus and say, Lord, what do you ask of me? What would you have of me? You know, there will always be something inside of us. There are always, until we die, there are walls that will continue to be torn down and will need to be torn down. There will always be something that disrupts the comfort in which we live in. Something that disrupts our understanding of worship and our understanding of embracing God in our life. And so our prayer today is that we will have the courage to allow ourselves to be vulnerable. To allow ourselves to be vulnerable before God and before Christ. So that Christ will stay with us each day and in each moment, helping us to take down the walls and barriers that separate us, that we can embrace the juggernaut of life, and so that we may be whole. Whole as the man possessed with the demons was made whole, so that we can go back into our lives, back into the worlds, into the people we know, and the people we struggle with, and the people we love. And be people of compassion and love. Amen.